141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we slowly begin to say goodbye to the international break. The dust begins to settle on Scotland's latest defeat, but don't worry, it'll be back next month to see if results can improve. We'll hear from Arne Engels and Luke McCown as they aim to shake up Celtic's midfield options, and St Johnstone become the latest club to announce they will cut ticket allocations for the visits of Celtic and Rangers. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Yeah, you're right, Gordon. The international break will come round back again.
Buzzing for it already next month.
No, look, I'm pretty glad it's over. I am always glad when it's over and we get back to the domestic stuff, our bread and butter, and some big games this weekend. We're really early into the season, but it's shaping up. It could be a big weekend. Rangers away at Tannadice, Celtic at home at Hearts, and Aberdeen against your team Motherwell. They are the informed team along with Celtic. Can they stretch our lead over Rangers at the top of the table? Huge weekend ahead.
Yeah, it was a bit disappointing for our national team, you've got to say, Gordon. Some bad errors made that cost us over the last two games, but now it's all looking forward. And Mark quite rightly points out a lot of good games. A lot of teams out there, especially Hearts, going to Celtic Park, they're needing something to kickstart their season. Kilmarnock are right down there as well, and the old Motherwell are flying.
0141 951 1025. That is the number that you need. So come on, let us know what's on your mind tonight. I'd say it's always up to you, but there's a particularly blank look about this slate. If you really want to do it again, you want day two of the Scotland post-mortem, who are we to argue with you? Let's do it. Let's get stuck in. Look at that winless run. Look at the positives, if there are any. Look at the way you feel about things going forward. If you are totally fed up and you want to move on, then again, it's up to you. What does that look like? What are you looking forward to about the return of domestic football? Maybe your team's had such a bad start to the season, you're not looking forward to anything about the return to domestic football, but surely we can find something. What do you hope your team has worked on? What do you hope your team has fixed during the international break? Maybe you can get creative on that one. In terms of today's news, if you like, or things coming out around the place, we're going to hear from Luke McCown and Arne Engels. So Celtic fans, I wonder how you feel about that midfield department now. How do you think it will line up? How much rotation do you think we'll see? How much do you think we'll see of Luke McCown? How much of a job does Arne Engels have on his hands to oust Paulo Bernardo? Yes, it was a massive fee, but you look at how good Paulo Bernardo's been. That was me assuming that he's not going to oust McGregor or Hatate, but maybe you've got other ideas. Or is it all just a big happy squad rotation policy? Let us know. 0141 951 1025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. I believe we're still seeing the old rumblings about whether or not there's still an opportunity for James Tavernier to be tempted elsewhere. What do you make of that with another day gone? Rangers fans, again, same number. Or anything else at all, give us a shout. 0141 951 1025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Scotland. Yeah.
Oh, where do we start? We obviously start with the results, I guess, and no doubt they are disappointing. And it adds to this narrative, again, that we've not won a game or something like that in 14, and it just keeps rolling on. And every time Scotland go in against one of these top-class opponents and don't come away with a win, that just gets added to. And I think we have to, you know, sit back and be realistic about the full thing and Steve Clarke's tenure and cut the guy a wee bit of slack. Would we all like to see a free-flowing Scotland team that, you know, pinned teams in and created chance after chance and scored goal after goal? Of course we would. But do we need to be realistic about what we've got in our squad in key positions and put it up against, you know, some of the best players in the world? Of course we have to be realistic, and there's no doubt in there there's games that we should have and could have won. And you look at friendlies and games against Northern Ireland and Finland and probably that game in the Euros against Hungary. But some of the big, you know, established teams in the world that we've come up against and chosen to play and were defeated, And I think that takes credit picking those games. And then when you get yourself elevated to this level in Group A, you're going to come up against some of these world stars and you have to take your medicine sometimes. But I don't think it's a disaster. I think people need to climb down a bit from wanting Steve Clark out and all change. I think we need to stick with the process for a wee bit longer.
If you don't win games, you've got to come under pressure. Matt's quite right in highlighting the quality of the opposition. Where I feel for Steve Clark occasionally, especially in the last two games for me, decision making. You know, handling the 97th minute, an experienced guy should never get into that. I think looking at the Portugal goals, I think the goalkeeper will be a little bit disappointed, Gordon. I thought we showed good character in the first game coming back after half-time. And then down to that 97th minute. But listen, anybody will tell you, if you're not winning games as a manager, it doesn't matter how well you're playing, how you're looking. Now, the one thing the manager did, he changed the formation. He went to his back four. He stuck with that in two games. And managers do come under pressure if you're not winning games. But I'm with Mark a little bit. I think Steve Clark's earned enough to see us going through here in the campaign, and let's see what we can do. We've got difficult games coming up against Croatia and obviously Portugal again. So I'm looking forward to that.
Well, like we said, if that's the way you want to go tonight, if it's day two of the post-mortem on the international front, we are here for you. 01419511025. If you'd rather just put it to bed and move on and talk about club football, it's the same number. So let us know what you're thinking. Maybe you do want to think broadly about what you hope your team's better at after the break than they were before. I guess for some teams like Celtic or Dundee United or Aberdeen, you'd just be looking to keep things going and improve on what's already been a good start to the season. Or maybe you've got other things on your mind. Ticket allocations is always a real favourite topic on here. I know St Johnstone have become the latest club to cut the allocations for the visits of Celtic and Rangers. I wonder how you feel about that. 01419511025. Did you have a good weekend? Did you enjoy your weekend off? We don't get many Saturdays off.
No, we don't. Did you enjoy yours?
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah, went a bit walking in the morning.
Of course you did. You do that on the weekends that you're working anyway.
I know, but then
you just get to walk further.
A bit further, and then went out for a nice lunch, and then I went about the West End, so it was lovely. In the sunshine.
Right.
Yeah, the wee
afternoon. How about yourself?
A wee afternoon out, yes. I certainly had an exciting time.
Was this Saturday?
Saturday, yeah. Don't go out for long, Gordon. When you get to my age now, you're...
Would it be unfair of me to just lean on all my experience I've got of being around you and say publicly that I can tell you were out on Saturday, even though it's Tuesday? Is that unfair? Am I being too... Am I being too harsh on you?
Well, you got a 3-day hangover still.
I think you're
still a bit jaded.
Please drink responsibly.
Not at all.
I was just wondering. Maybe it's just me.
You're drinking petrol.
I was only out for 4 hours.
4 days. I know. Where were you? Your one and only.
My usual place. You know, I'll know where it is.
By the way, you're keeping that place open. There's the amount of money you're spending there. I've never been in.
Have you not? I'll take you in. I'm well known in there.
What about yourself?
A regular.
I was in Disneyland.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
What a contrast.
Just a bit different.
He was in Disneyland in his mind. It's the place he was in. And you were in actual Disneyland.
Equivalent of Disneyland. I took my 3-year-old, well, and my wife, obviously, she was there. It wasn't just me. And, you know, it is. It's just for kids of that age, it is. It's incredible. I actually had a message in here from Jamie, who obviously saw on Instagram that I'd been, and says, can't believe you brought Goofy and Dumbo back with you.
What one's which? You're definitely Dumbo.
Do you think so?
With the features?
Oh, very good.
Well, your nose and your ears. That means I'm Goofy also.
Oh, exactly.
It's not a compliment
your
to me.
Teeth.
Who would be better? I don't know. Could we come up with more appropriate Disney characters for
Goofy's
either
a dog, isn't he? Is he?
I don't know. Is Goofy a dog? Yeah.
I think so.
This show's went into an Alfred yesterday's show, and that's saying something.
So a fantastic experience for the Duncan family, you would probably say.
Yeah. What rides did you go on? Any big ones?
Well, no, because she's only three, so you get dragged around all the more sort of like immersive experiences.
The runaway trains, that's still there?
Something like that.
That's rubbish.
Aye. It's all about parades and pictures and all that sort of stuff. Delighted to be back with you two, has to be said.
Yeah. And you get home safely today, so we're delighted.
Jetted in
to
especially.
See you. Yeah.
Exactly. Right, 01419511025. I think enough about that. But it is up to you, keep saying it, whether you want to go Scotland again, whether you want to talk about club football, the return of it. You looking forward to the return of the Premiership? We always said at the start, this is it's a kind of weird international break, this one, particularly if you lose, but it does come around so quickly in the season. You feel like you're just finding your feet, and then you take this break away from it.
Some clubs probably didn't welcome the international break. You know, you look at Motherwell going very well, Aberdeen going very well, Dundee United, an excellent start to their season, Celtic playing some terrific football. Obviously, we've got big games at the weekend. You've got third against fourth at Tannadice. I think that will be a very attractive football game. You've got Celtic playing Hearts, who really need something to kickstart their season. And then another fantastic game would be Aberdeen against Motherwell. Two teams well in form, playing very well, scoring goals as well. So there's a lot of good, interesting games coming up at the weekend for me.
And I think this period, just after this international break, it gives everybody who's came to their new clubs time to settle in. I think we kind of start to go over. He's a new player and he's finding his feet. I get some joined right at the end of the window, but for those in pre-season who've been there for a while, experienced the club, then maybe reset, had a wee break or trained even longer with the ones that were left behind in international duty, they can go into these games, you know, feeling a real part of it. So I always think the league starts to take a different look from now until the next break.
Okay, 01419511025. Let's see what we get through first. It's Gary, who's in Blantyre. How are you, Gary?
Hey, Gordon. Welcome back. And hi, Mark and Gordon. See, before I make my point, just before I forget, I was actually playing golf in a Golf in Scotland event at Dalmahoy a few weeks back. And there's a guy from Colville Park who knew Gordon and says, the next everyone, I can't think of his name is Des, I have to say, you're a traitor for going to Lanark. So, there you go.
I was getting a bit concerned there, Gary. Where was this?
That's a result for you.
Yeah, I'm so glad you just used the word traitor.
See if that's all he's getting accused of. I can make my peace with that. I think we've got off lightly. Anyway, Gary, what else you got for us?
Yeah, so I don't know if it was yourself or it was the news there just before you came on. It was kind of mentioned St Johnstone being the latest club to kind of cut the allocation for Celtic Rangers fans.
Yep.
I find it astonishing that a club like St Johnstone, who, let's be honest, even when they give the allocations that have been given to Celtic, I'm not really going to talk about Rangers, but they don't even fill what they've got left in the current allocation. So to me, it smacks of just kind of cutting your nose off to spite your face. They ain't going to fill whatever it is, three stands or however many stands they've got left after our allocation. I think it's business sense is just nonsense. I'm actually stunned. A club like St Johnstone, I understand Parks and Hibs maybe, because they can sometimes fill their stadium, but St Johnstone, I mean, come on.
I think this is, we always ground in this one, and Gary's right. I mean, Hearts and Hibs, Kilmarnock, Motherwell did it ages ago, St Mirren. If you are an Old Firm fan, that tends to be the view that you take. Look at these wee clubs, they're cutting off their nose to spite their face. That's terrible business sense. They're knocking back our money. They can't even fill their seats. If you are, let's take St Mirren then, who've done it, and say, but it's worked for us. We now get bigger crowds, even on the days when Celtic and Rangers visit, than we previously did. We've got more season ticket holders because our core fan base thinks that we've got their best interests at heart, and we're not just chasing money on those individual match days. That doesn't mean Gary's wrong either. And it might well be then that, is it 28th September, Celtic go there, it might be completely empty, and then I get that. I think at the core of it though, clubs can kind of do what they want with their own home fans. So it's a really difficult one.
Yeah, you took St Mirren there as an example. St Mirren had a terrific season last year and obviously attracted more fans to the game because they were playing some good football, finishing the top six. They were absolutely sensational. I'm with Gary 100%. I think if you're a club like St Johnstone that struggled to get people through your door, I think you've got to use every opportunity you can to bring in revenue, to take the club forward as well. You're not telling me Craig Levein's sitting there thinking, you know, we're going to cut Celtic and Rangers allocation here. We've got to make sure our own support's okay. The more money he gets in, obviously the better quality player he can get, maybe attract more St Johnston supporters as well, Gordon. So I take your point on both, but if I'm St Johnston, I'm opening my doors to Celtic Rangers.
But is this not where football, Mark, is a really complicated business? Because it is a business like no other, because you've got all this emotion attached to it. If it was all about just making every single last pound that you can on any given match day, then fine. But obviously there's a new owner at St Johnston, Adam Webb. He's issued the statement. Maybe he doesn't want his team to run out at home surrounded by opposition fans. And I know what you're saying. Mm. It doesn't mean that you're wrong, but is that a wildly controversial stance for him to take? I don't want this to feel like a home game for Celtic or Rangers.
So that's the bottom line. New ownerships came in, had a rethink, thought what's the best interest of the club, and he's obviously thought that's the route to go down, and he's well within his rights because it's their home. They can do whatever they like. And if he's got a business plan that works out fine at the end of the year, then nobody's got a real right to complain about it because it's St Johnstone's pitch. But on the outside, and then with Gary and Daz, because I look at St Johnstone's fan base and I wonder what they average, even when Rangers and Celtic do come calling, and you think it's going to be a real empty ground on those occasions. However, again, it goes back to the owner's decision. I would echo what Daz says, though. If you've got the quality of player on the pitch and the product on the pitch, you might then bump up your numbers because they really buy into it and they buy into the ownership. But you need the product to attract the people in. And I think St Mirren had that in a way. I think they had, you know, some good football to watch and they were being successful. So the crowd started to build. I don't think St Johnstone's got that at the minute. I don't think they've got the fan base at the minute.
Mar, they would never have that. You're talking about a team that won a cup double.
To be fair though, I don't think it's
still struggle.
I don't think it's always on the back of you know, depending if you have a good seat. Motherwell did this years ago. You know, you remember it used to get two stands and then you take it down to one, and you just I think when you're on the other side of it, you'll only see it the way that you're talking about. But if you're a season ticket holder for that club, at the core of it, you just want to feel like your club's got your back. And I just don't know if that's ludicrous to sort of want
but
that.
But I wonder how long that goes on for then as a season ticket holder. And you might be able to tell me, if Motherwell had continued and say they were getting the crowd St Johnson where season after season after season, all of a sudden finances dwindle. Mm-hmm. Whatever's been reinvested into the team dwindles and you end up dropping down the league. When do you go... Sure. By the way, 5 years ago, that wasn't a good idea.
Again, obviously, every club is different. I think Livy have gone on record in the past to sort of saying, we just can't do that. You know, we need to let as many in as possible. But I'm assuming the St Johnstone owner's done it with faith that it's not going to, you know, he's not cutting his own throat financially.
Yeah.
Do you understand, Gary, the sort of the home side of that, where you're trying to look after your own fans first?
Yeah. I do get that, Gordon. I totally get that. And if St Johnstone had a season ticket waiting list that was bursting at the seams, then fine. Yeah, exactly. You've got a duty to kind of look after your own fans. But then, kind of, like you're saying, it's kind of a double-edged sword because you've got to look after your own fans. You've got to look after all the things as well. But let's maximise any money that we can make. And if that means that we give X amount of tickets to Celtic to fill up the seats that are going to be empty, then yeah, you've got to look at the long term. Like Maris has said, in 5 years' time, if St Johnstone are doing the leagues, can you buy a player, can you afford the wages, and this has got something to do with it, then they've actually not been looking after, never mind the fans, they've not been looking after the club. It's St Johnstone again, I get Hearts, Hibs, and even Motherwell, St Mirren, because they can fill stadiums, and they're getting bigger crowds, and maybe the fans, they feel that. And St Johnstone don't fall into that category. I'm sorry, they don't.
Where do you draw the line then, right? Because obviously as part of that, you must be moving fans who sit there every other week. So I think McDermott Park holds nearly 11,000, right? I don't know what St Johnstone can attract on a game day against Celtic. Let's say it's 3,000. So by your logic then, and just give Celtic and Rangers 8,000 tickets and just keep three. You know, if it was all about that, if it was all that simple.
I think first and foremost, I agree with everybody, you've got to look after your own fans. But if you can only bring 3,000 people in there...
That's what I mean. Just give. Would you give eight to the... To
all day long.
Yeah, and then, and then you're moving people.
Well,
your fans that come there every week.
I can accept that's where the small problem lies, but even for a player, right, and Mark and I have played football, you go to stadiums that, whether it's got 8,000 Celtic supporters in three St Johnstone, the atmosphere is still great to play in. And even the home team now, where they get the advantages, it's their home pitch. Yes, you might have Celtic get 8,000, St Johnstone get three. But I think long term, getting into a club like St Johnstone, I don't think you can afford to turn away a paying customer. I really don't.
So are we to believe that you have St Johnstone's finances truly at heart here and you're really worried about them? Do you know what I mean? Why is that such a concern?
Because I think a club like St Johnstone has got to make as much money as they possibly can.
They must have thought
about
this, though.
They can't make it through the gate, Gordon.
They must have thought about this.
Yeah, listen. See, if somebody goes in and puts their money into a football club and they make that decision, fine, I've not got a problem with it. But if it was my football club, I'd be welcoming anybody in and then try to work round my own support as well to let them know, look, yes, we will look after you, of course we will, but we cannot turn away a paying customer.
I think this isn't St Johnstone's problem, but I think aesthetically, for the good of your game, it of course doesn't look good. The cameras rock up there and the stadium's empty. But again, that's not St Johnstone's.
Does it look weird? I totally agree with you, by the way. But does it look weird in its own way if it's like a full, if it's all away fans at a home ground? Not as bad, clearly, I would agree.
And any other league in the world would be looking at that probably and going, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Of course we would. But we've grown that used to it here because we've got two, you know, humongous clubs.
That's fair.
That dwarf everybody else.
It's a difficult one, Gary. I'm sure it will go on and on. Thank you very much for taking the time. If you call us now, we'll try and get you on next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. What is happening?
Make me a winner.
Who left you two in charge of the buttons? Honestly.
Get your calls in now for this, make me a winner. Win £8 million.
Steady, I don't know if we're allowed to like falsely advertise in terms of conditions
joking.
Of any competition we've got going. Just going to delete that bit. I think. Just go back.
Wow. Somebody furiously dying. £8 million.
Full T's and C's are at Clyde1.com. We'll get to that later on. 01419511025. Just thinking of the guy that said it's Goofy and Dumbo that I've brought back from Disneyland, and he might be onto something.
Yeah.
I thought he might go down the Seven Dwarfs route with you. So that you could be either a couple of them. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who are you thinking?
I can't make
grumpy. Grumpy, right? Somebody's grumpy.
No, I'm never grumpy.
Topy.
No. Sneezy. Are they sneezy?
I hope not.
I don't know. Are they sneezy?
Oh, there is. Oh, sorry, there is one.
Yeah, it should be. Yeah.
But I mean, I hope that's not you.
Who else is there?
You were sleepy.
Certainly not bashful.
You were sleepy last week, weren't you? Sleepy in Germany a couple of times during the summer, I have to say.
Yeah, rested up. I was resting up.
But anyway, right, 01419511025, we're Frank. That's exactly the number he's dialed. How are you, Frank?
Hi. Doing good.
What's your point tonight?
Is this regarding the boy that was on, talking about St Johnstone not getting them, or two stand, or whatever it is?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a St Mirren supporter. We done it. And it's worked for us because there's a lot of sort of families and things like that basically weren't coming to the game if it was two full stands of Celtic and Rangers supporters. I understand the bigger crowd meant to be a better atmosphere, but for us it's definitely made a difference to our team and how we play. I think a lot of people have got a bit sick, fed up of listening to how they're so hard done by. Back in the day when you used to get a split gate, so it didn't matter whether you're a home or away, you get half the ticket money. It doesn't work like that now. Same with the TV money. Celtic and Rangers seem to get the bigger slice of it. So I think the smaller clubs are just getting a bit fed up with the way it's working.
Hmm. What do you make of that? Because we now do have like real examples of smaller clubs, in inverted commas, that have done this and haven't gone to the wall as a result of it. You know, if we were in day one and this argument came up, I would understand where you say, can you really afford to turn down that sort of money? But, you know, Frank's on as a St Mirren fan. See now that we've got these real life examples of clubs doing it and it being okay, does it not make it a bit more understandable?
Yeah, I always go back to, and I think Frank's right, I think you've got to look after your own support, families, everything like that. Now, if you look at the last couple of seasons, you'll probably notice St Mirren's attendances will probably be up. So they can attract people to their club. They can attract more support, whether it be families and whatever, right? So they've got that decision. They decide to go down the road.
But what I mean is, though,
I go back to St Johnstone, cup double team, and can add to their gates.
But people probably said, you're speaking now with that knowledge of what's happened. People would have said this. We would have had this exact argument on the night that St Mirren announced they were going to do it.
Yeah, and
you would have said that about St Mirren.
I'd have probably went down the road of, look, I would welcome Celtic and Rangers into the ground because they've lived off Celtic and Rangers for years. Now, I'm quite happy that St Mirren, because I talk in this programme all the time about the size of crowds now and their people coming back out wanting to watch the football. Well, if that is the case, and Frank's right, especially if you're getting families going to the game now, you've got to make sure they're your number one priority. I'm all for that. But I just think you've got to look at each club individually for me. And I don't think St Johnstone is one of those clubs that can turn around and say, do you know what? We're not going to welcome the Celtic fans here or Rangers fans here, and we've got to go on our own back. I don't think that's good common sense financially.
Is there a chance it falls down, Frank? Because Gordon is definitely right in a way, and there's a line in this statement from St Johnstone that says, for this initiative to be successful, we need you, our dedicated fans, to turn out in force. We understand it's a collective effort. We're committed to making it as convenient as possible for you to attend. So, I mean, St Mirren fans, by the sounds of it, answered that. Does that mean every club can, though?
Yeah, well, I think they can. But the thing is, no, he's saying that we've lived off Celtic and Rangers for years. That's not true. I mean, if Celtic and Rangers left to go and play somewhere else, Scottish football would thrive because there'd be more competition, more chance of winning a league or winning a cup. This narrative of Celtic and Rangers being the be-all and end-all of Scottish football is long, long past.
I think, to be fair to Gordon, and you know me, I'll always stick up for the wee teams, Frank, but I think in fairness, our TV deal is predicated on four Old Firm games. That's how the money comes in. Frank may be right. There maybe would be some hypothetical scenario where that eventually fixes itself and it's a competitive league and it becomes entertaining. But as it stands, we do need it for the TV money. I think it would be naive to suggest otherwise.
Yeah, 100%. Well, if Celtic Rangers are not there,
sorry, Frank, on you go.
That's another thing. I mean, TV money. No, for the pittance we get, is it right that we're selling our soul? No, to these TV companies that people sitting. This is one of the reasons that we've got VAR, which I would scrap tomorrow. VAR was brought in because people sitting in the house watching reruns and tackles slowed down to the slightest millisecond, we're getting angry. It's taking the enjoyment out of watching a game live. The amount of people that go and watch live football in comparison to the people who are sitting in it's the people that are going to these games that are keeping these clubs alive. The TV money is farcical, to tell you the truth. It's not right that football's been destroyed by what people sitting in the house watching it on the couch.
Yeah, I think the danger is we could do a whole show on VAR, we could do a whole show on TV deals, and I get where Frank's coming from, and there's a lot of it linked. VAR, it's not going anywhere by the sounds of it.
I was going to just say about the TV money, and in fairness to Frank, the TV money has kept clubs going. Maybe not Celtic and Rangers, but the majority of the other clubs need. I know it's a paltry deal. I know we should probably get better on how you do that. I don't know, but
I think what I think where Frank is right. What's unique about Scotland is the match going fan does contribute a lot of a club's income.
Oh, without doubt.
But it's nowhere about us being the best supported near, league pair.
But it's nowhere near where Frank was. It Frank it was talking about. You used to get a split gate, and even you know the days when Daz was playing, and the crowds seemed bigger. And they have dwindled away now. Did that coincide with the TV companies taking on our fixture that you could watch it? I don't know. But that doesn't make an excuse that fans don't then buy their ticket to go.
Let's thank Frank and bring in Andy as well on this. Andy, take it away.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Obviously, you know I'm a Thistle fan season ticket holder. I was getting the car earlier there and I'd heard the caller phone in about the tickets at St Johnstone. So I was just phoning up the producer. My take on it is, and whilst I know we're in the Championship now, and it's been a while, when Rangers and Celtic come along to Fir Hill, I don't go to the games. Unfortunately, there's a minority, I would say. I wouldn't say it's the majority, it's the minority of some of the fans that come to likes of Fir Hill and some of the family stadiums. And obviously the stadium gets damaged, we get moved out of sort of my season ticket area and put into another stand. The songs that kind of get sung and stuff like that, it's a bit intimidating for the kids and things like that. So I kind of take my hat off to St Johnstone there for kind of sticking to their guns on it a wee bit. I do appreciate why the clubs do it. I realise it's a big financial injection into the club, but what I would say is that as a Thistle fan, our club seems to be running okay just now. Of course the money coming in for the Rangers and Celtic fans would always do better for us, but for me, I just wish more clubs would maybe just stick to their guns on it. And then I think what would happen is, whilst you might not get the numbers into the stadiums for those games, you would get some of the home fans coming back, because I know there's a lot of guys that don't go to Fir Hill when the Old Firm come to town, and I would say that's the same at some other stadiums as well. And on top of that, for probably all the Rangers and Celtic fans listening, I know my team's going to get cuffed when Rangers and Celtic come to town as well. So add all that on top of it, doesn't it make for a very good day?
This will be good. Watch Mark Wilson change his tune because Partick Thistle say it's a good idea. Come on, Mark.
I've not changed
my tune. Your employer.
Mm. What did I say? I said it's up each to their own. How can we? Can we decide? And look, if Partick Thistle were in a situation where at the end of the year the numbers add up and they can have an empty few stands and be fine with it, then great. And if the Thistle fans are happy with that money, that missing money not being reinvested into the squad, then of course. But
I think you have to, because the bit that we won't know is exactly what that money looks like, and I'm hoping St Johnstone have counted it up. And even if they feel like, okay, we're going to lose this amount, but that's not going to change much for us. That's not going to transform the team, and that's not going to send us into administration. It's not going to send us tumbling down the league. We think that loss there is worth it to allow families to come and not feel intimidated, to allow people not to be moved out their seat, to try and maybe grow our own. That is obviously the thought, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'll go back to it again about potential. And Partick Thistle is one of those clubs, Gordon. If they get into the Premier League, Partick Thistle would have a real good support following home gates, because they've got potential to bring people through their doors. Now, I've heard this argument when it come up before about some people don't go to these games because they feel uncomfortable, like Andy just described there. That's fine. That's his choice to go and do. I would take each club in their individual merits. I just think St Johnstone Football Club, looking at them, they've not got the potential of these clubs, because that's been shown before. And I think that a club like St Johnstone should make as much money as they possibly can. And if that is opening your doors to Celtic Rangers, so be it.
But that's what I mean,
it's a club's decision.
But it would depend what that bit, make as much money as they can. It would depend what that margin looked like. Do you know what I mean? If we're saying that St Johnstone now half their yearly income or whatever, then yeah, we on the outside, knowing nothing about business, can say quite confidently that's a crazy decision. But if it's a relatively small loss versus some sort of even emotional gain amongst your own fans, then it might be worth it.
That's only a decision that St Johnstone, and they've obviously made that decision.
But you're right, it's never going to be easy, because who wants to turn on the telly and see empty stands? I don't think anyone.
And plus the fact, even St Johnstone players don't want to play in empty stadiums.
Might that be an each to their own, though? That versus feeling proper hostile against you at your own home? Because everything would be different. You might have been the type of player who said, "Well, I don't care. Any noise is good noise."
Yeah,
there's players out there that don't enjoy the pressure of playing in front of a full McDermott Park, probably the majority of away fans.
All right, well, we're going along nicely with this. Keep them coming. That's a couple who are like in favour of St Johnstone's decision. If you want to swing back the other way and tell us the other side of it, we're here for you as well. Day two of the Scotland post-mortem. If you so wish, pick up the phone or anything else. Do it right now. And whilst you get your calls in, I'll run this past you.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here. 0141 951 1025. That's the number that you need. You can tweet as well at Clyde SSB if you've got any thoughts. You know, that way you're like day two, coming off an international break, you do wonder, is it going to be quiet tonight? But there's just one thing that always kicks it off. Ticket allocations are one of the favourite topics. Stuart says Scottish football is the most backward league in the world's world. Fans wonder why no one wants to put more money in the game. It's utter madness. I think Stuart is obviously not a fan of St Johnstone's decision to cut this allocation. You can get in touch. It's been a bit of a split, I've noticed. What I think we really need to find is Old Firm fans who think this is a good idea and non-Old Firm fans who think it's a bad idea. Because it's kind of, it looks sort of split in that. Yeah. You know, that way with people very much sort of interested in their own side's take on this.
You would think both sides, with the recent ticket allocation they've been given to the opposite,
exactly,
would see sense, because that's the argument. Fans at Celtic
people
Park,
in glass houses
don't want to move seat, and why should we accommodate and we give our team the best chance?
It's obviously slightly different. Anyway, Mark is in Bothwell. How's it going, Mark?
All right, lads, how you doing?
Not bad, you?
Aye, good.
What are you thinking tonight?
Well, I think it's a bad advert for Scottish football. If you watch it on the TV, right, you see some of the stadiums that are empty. The only time it's full is when the away fans, like, you know, the big teams, go and fill these stadiums up. Right, so you're watching football on the TV and you're seeing these empty stadiums, as in St Johnstone, who aren't playing very well at the moment. So go and tell me, like Gordon said about St Mirren, how they played well and they've upped their game with the season tickets because they're playing well at that time. St Johnstone aren't playing well at the time, so how can they justify cutting their allocation for away fans to go to the stadium? It's just, I just think their business profile is way off.
I can't disagree with that. I know that there'll be a lot of neutral supporters out there, you know, talking about St Mirren's and, you know, maybe other teams that have done it as well. Gordon, Kilmarnock, I think, is the same. Mm-hmm. But I take it in the individual. I look at St Johnstone, I keep going back to it. They had a fantastic year, winning a cup double, and they still can't add to their gates. So he's obviously been in there, looked at the business plan and decided, no, I'm going to take a gamble here, because he's already said it. For this to work, we need your support. Now, how many other St Johnstone fans are out there ready to go in and buy season tickets and go to the games week in, week out? I don't see it happening. So I think if there's an opportunity there for Celtic or Rangers to come call in, you know, I think you've got to cash in.
Is that fair then? Is it not fair, Mark, that St Johnstone get allowed to make this business decision? And you know what? If in 2 years' time, 3 years' time, the same owner has to go with his tail between his legs and explain to his own fans, we need more money and increase an allocation again.
Yeah, that owner, right, obviously, he's hindsight, right, but seeing like 2 years' time, if they're in like the second division of Scottish football, how's that going to work for them? Do you know what I mean? I think you need to fill your stadiums to make money in Scottish football at the moment, right? It's for us to sell the game worldwide, right, it doesn't look good on the TV when you see empty stadiums, right? You've got a third-tier English team on an FA Cup run who's selling their stadiums out left, right and centre. You know, tier two English football's got bigger stadiums and St Johnstone's put together.
I think what is difficult about that, though, because that's obviously accurate, right? When you look at, we don't fill stadiums as such, but Scottish football is incredibly well supported. Mm-hmm. I know it's like total idealism. Stadiums are probably too big. That's actually the reality. When you look at the percentage of football fans in Scotland that go to football matches, it is the highest in Europe. We're not going to squeeze that many more out. So I wonder if looking at the number of empty seats is actually the best way to do it. Is that not the backwards way to do it? Granted, on these like kind of one these one-off occasions, you know, I get that. But lots of people in Scotland go to football games.
Yeah, you're right. When did the rule come in? Was it 10,000 seater stadiums come in? And was it your club that got saved from that? So you would have been happy.
Get producer John in here to get the Falkirk side of it if
that,
you want.
That came in, you know, to fit some sort of vision that the SFA had, I suppose. And you're right, it didn't have the real impact that I think we needed in our game. Just going back to the St Johnstone thing, I guess we're chatting about their business models and nobody really knows what the owner, you know, has in front of him or what he has for a vision going forward. But what would be interesting to see is how he incentivises this for St Johnstone fans. Because Daz is right when he says...
With families to come along, yeah.
Well, who knows what he's going to do? You know, Mark's saying that there'd be empty stands. What if he says, you know, I don't know, it's a buy one, get one free ticket, or all the tickets are a fiver to get in, or something like that. Now, of course, in the first few weeks, you're going to see a big upturn in attendance because people will be interested, and people want to buy and people want to support. It's then sustaining it. And how do you sustain it? How do you keep it going? Did Motherwell not do a scheme years ago? Things. It was a fiver for a ticket or something that got all the young fans along for a while, but then it dwindled a bit. And that is the problem. You have to... The first thing he's come out and said is, we are sticking by our fans and we're reducing allocations. The next thing he's saying, we need your support. What's going to be the next incentive to get those fans through the gate?
St Mirren, I'm sure they did not go as far as, like, you could make a £30 payment to help cover the shortfall. So you say, okay, I'll help cover the shortfall. I don't want this stadium to be full of Celtic and Rangers fans, and I appreciate it's going to be a financial issue. So here you go.
Yeah, well, that would work if it balances the books, and at the end of the day, you come out with a good, right financial figures. Of course, again, aesthetically, it doesn't fix the problem for us as neutrals looking at the game. But does St Johnstone really care? Does Craig Levein really care?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think Craig Levein would welcome supporters in because he knows it's obviously making the club money. I think you've got to take in individual clubs. You're talking about St Mirren there. St Mirren have really grown as a football club in the last couple of years. You know, they've done everything right. They've attracted the families. They've attracted the supporters. They've worked in it, everything about it. And obviously what helps is a little bit of success on the pitch, playing good football, entertaining football, got a terrific manager, people want to go and see it. So there's potential there. There's potential. Dundee United will probably be, you know, a lot of supporters coming back to watch Dundee United now, especially off to the start. So there's clubs in there with that capability. But I don't think St Johnstone are that club. Mm. Now, you've got to lose, say you've got 3,000 fans and you can get another 7,000 of Celtic Rangers there twice. So the sort of a shortfall is going to be a lot of money for them. But
well, not allowing any fans in. It's just going to be less than... And actually don't know if there's confirmed numbers there.
I was going to say, because Aberdeen usually take a large travelling support to McDermott Park. So does that count for them also?
Yeah, I think today it was just about Celtic and Rangers. I think probably going to be a lot of stadiums when they've done this, it goes from two stands down to one.
Down to one.
Sort of thing. Yeah. But I guess that will be... I think they've had 4,000 in previous games, previous seasons. Celtic and Rangers have been able to take 4,000, and St Johnstone feel it's too much. So the debate goes on. Thank you to Mark for giving us. I think we've had both sides quite well covered, and it takes us up nicely to time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Mark Wilson is top of the league for Beat the Pundit this season.
How many games he played? Whoa. One.
Four wins from four, a 100% ratio. You,
Celtic and Aberdeen.
I must be right up there.
You're on 40%.
Where would that put him? 40%? That would put
I'm going
him
hips
down.
Or something.
Nah,
my phone battery's
Ross
getting
more County.
Than that.
You're a Ross County,
my phone battery's getting more than that, 40%.
We need to get more away fans in here to give you good backing. Anyway, you have until 7 o'clock if you want to play Beat the Pundit tonight. 01419511025. And you can take on one of these two. Lines do close at 7, so be quick.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Deal and Mark Wilson are here. 0141 951 1025. There has been a lot of talk about ticket allocations. We kicked the backside right out of that. That was nearly, what was the full first hour almost. A lot of reaction coming in to St Johnstone's decision to cut Celtic and Rangers allocations. A real mixed bag in terms of reaction. And if you want to keep going on it, you are more than welcome. Maybe a good time to shift focus, though. It is day two of the post-mortem into what's happening with Scotland at the moment. So again, if you want to keep going there, you can do. Are you seeing positives looking at some of the elements of the performance, or is it all about that bad winless run? The stats are there in black and white. So give us your calls there. If you want to just put that to one side, stick it in the bin and move on to the return of domestic football, then you can. Maybe you're thinking about things your team can do better after the international break. Maybe you've got something more specific on your mind. We're going to hear from Arnie Ingles and Luke McCowan, Celtic fans. I wonder how you see the midfield area shaping up going into the rest of the season, because it looked pretty good in the last game, but that's a record club signing waiting in the wings. And there's Luke McCowan there as well. So whatever it is you fancy, pick up the phone and let us know, and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. I told you before the break, the form, Gordon Dalziel is... it's not great. 40%.
That's not bad.
I think that's...
But I play quite often.
There is no doubt who the caller would want to play. They'd want to play him.
Think so?
Oh, without doubt.
Certainly.
It's 60% chance of winning.
Is that the way it works?
I don't know. That was terrible math there, wasn't it?
I wish you hadn't put that up, was it?
No.
Probably.
I just guessed there.
Right, anyway, it is time for Beat the Pundit. Get your calls in for afterwards. David's on the line. How are you, David?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Have you ever played before?
I haven't, no.
And as an Airdrie fan, how good is it to see the club flourishing after the state these two got them into?
It's good now that Gordon's away anyway, eh?
Listen, David, you do not know the work this guy put in getting soup out the canteen at Ravenscraig every day.
Their profits have went right downhill since you've left.
Oh, I loved my
David,
soup.
Do you go to the games? Were you there under the beautiful football we were playing in our time?
A few of them, not all of them, but a few of them.
See, but I like to joke, obviously, but you got to the playoffs and get beaten by a Livingston team who...
Livingston pitched it to the league,
who then got double promotion. So I'll give you a little bit of slack. Good to see you, Drew. Although I hear they're under 18 teams.
They're under 18 teams good, David, to beat us. Beat Thistle. Four breakaways they scored against us as well.
Four against the run of play, was it?
Four against the run of play.
Nightmare.
No, they were good. Some good players in that under
18 team. You were going well as well. You were doing okay.
Bumping merely a speed bump.
When are you going to get up to the under 18s games and... You're meant to be his mentor.
Ah, no, I was going to go up and
ask
him.
The guy's been
in the job for a year and you've not darkened his door once.
Never been up, have you?
No, if you play at Fir Park, I'll come.
Fir Park?
Yeah.
Hey, Airdrie's just up the road for you.
That's a long way.
You have been going well.
The boys have been playing. You need to expect that, so. No, Airdrie, we're good. Well done to them.
Right, anyway. Heads, it will be Mark Wilson. David, tails, it will be Gordon Dalziel with his 40% win record, and it is. Heads, so it's Mark Wilson, former Airdrie manager.
All right, okay.
Against David, the Airdrie
fan. I really hope he beats you. Come on, David.
So, 30 seconds, David. Answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Okay.
We're going to give Mark some greatest hits radio to listen to so that he can hear us, and your time starts now. Who was Scotland manager in between Walter Smith and George Burley?
Pass.
Giovanni Van Bronckhorst is currently in charge of which club?
Fenerbahce.
Hibs, Bill Foley, major shareholder, also owns which English club?
Pass.
Which team do Scotland under-21s play tonight, right now?
Portugal.
Marco Tilio is on loan in which country?
Pass, this is obvious.
True or false, only one player has got over 100 caps for Scotland men's team?
Two.
Okay, let's bring back Mark Wilson. Can you hear us?
Yeah, back.
What are you listening to there? Yeah,
everybody wants to rule the world. Who's that? Tears for Fears?
Do.
No?
Welcome to my world.
Imagine people driving their car listening to that.
Oh, they'll be tapping their feet and everything. Dazzler, take
one for the karaoke.
Right,
that's
Wilson,
mine.
Your 100% record.
What was David like?
Nah,
was
good. Very good.
He sounded
good.
Nervous.
You ready, Mark?
Yes. Like your every team.
Same set of questions. Your 30 seconds goes on the clock. And your time starts now. Who was the Scotland manager in between Walter Smith and George Burley?
Gordon Strachan. No.
Giovanni Van Bronckhorst is currently in charge of which club? Oh. Hibs shareholder Bill Foley also owns which English club?
Bournemouth.
Who the Scotland under-21s play tonight?
Malta.
Marco Tilio is currently on loan in which country?
Holland.
True or false, only one player has got over 100 caps for Scotland men's team.
False.
Okay.
Oh, mate.
David, what are you thinking?
Oh, he's done me.
What?
That's a worry. That's an absolute worry. Was that, David, that's the first time you've played? Was it harder than you thought? In terms of the pressure and stuff?
Questions are quite hard, I thought
they were. Yeah, I didn't think they were brilliant.
Wait, see, that's it. It's always harder than you think. See, when you're in that Airdrie stand, you were shouting abuse at me. It's harder than you think, mate. See,
Alex McLeish was in between Walter Smith and George Burley. And we should also, of course, say George Burley. Hopefully, wish him well and hope he can somehow get on the mend soon. He's obviously having a tough time of it at the moment. So it is Alex McLeish. None of you got that right. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst.
Oh, you were right.
You were flying on that. What's the story there? You've been researching him.
Researching James Tavernier as you were, aren't you? Just heard that.
No, he's not actually. Just for anyone who's
any Rangers fans just swerving over the road.
You were kind of close, David. It was the other one, Besiktas. So
1-0. What did they say? He was kind of close.
Where did you say?
Fenerbahce, I think.
Fenerbahce.
1-0 to Mark Wilson. You just got there. I think this was a turning point. When you talk about big moments in games, Bill Foley, Bournemouth, 2-0 Mark.
Brentford,
I think if you had gone there, I think your bottle, anything could have happened.
Are we looking at a donut here?
It's certainly 2-0 at the moment.
David, a donut.
It's only been 2 weeks since you got one. I would just calm down if I were you. Scotland under-21s play Malta.
Surely got
3-0
that.
Mark.
Oh, I think he's done, mate. What did his thing about it, David?
And the
rubbish.
Anyway, the big news from that game is that Lennon Miller scored one and set up one. So call it 15 million for anybody that wants to buy him. I think they're 3-0 up last time I checked. Four.
But sale.
The Marco Tilio, this is disappointing from you. He's on loan in Australia, his native Australia, back at Melbourne City.
Oh no, I've got the wrong player.
Who did you think? What do you mean?
Tillman. I'm thinking.
He's not on loan.
No.
What are you on about?
I don't know.
Hold on. I'm not thinking David got that either.
No, he never did. 3-0 to Mark Wilson. David, it's a 50-50. It's a true or false. And you need this, David. It all comes down to the 50-50. When I say you need it, you've lost. You're dead and buried. But as we all know, the real drama here is avoiding the donut. Gordon DL's had one. Simon Donnelly's had one. True or false, only one player has got over 100 caps for Scotland men's team. Mark Wilson said false.
I think that's true.
Are you sticking with your true, David?
Yeah, I don't know. I'd stick with true.
It is true. Oh, you. Kenny Dalglish is 102 or something. It's just over. Harry Kane gets 100 tonight, does he, for England?
Yeah,
the 10th
boots.
England player to do it. David, it's not well done. You've still been battered, but nobody needs the donut in their life on here. So I guess well done in that regard. Congratulations for avoiding a zero.
Embarrassing.
You know what? I was watching.
We couldn't disagree
with
you.
3-1.
Still game the other night. It was a dial bus and Davey was the driver and the donut set him off. That's all I could think of there. I was desperate for him to get a donut.
I watched that.
We're in Euro Disney.
No, I didn't go till Saturday.
Oh, right.
How sad is it my life is.
Friday night.
Quick.
That's all I can think.
We need to rush home for the fireworks to get still game on BBC Scotland. No, I didn't go until
well
Saturday.
Done, Davey.
Well done, Davey. Well, I say well done. Thanks for playing, Davey.
Thanks a lot. Cheers.
Dennis Law, not get more than 100.
No, he's joint on the goals, isn't he?
Is he?
Goals,
I was thinking Dennis Law and Kenny Dalglish.
That's what you've done on the. That's the mistake you've made, but that's the goals that you're thinking about, isn't it?
You didn't even need to try tonight. He was hopeless. I hope he's not listening.
He sounded nervous, didn't he, when he came on.
55 caps for
what?
Dennis Law. Yeah.
No way. See, that must make you feel not so bad. I've been a guy like Dennis Law. Got 55
years ago, they didn't play that many that games, did they?
Hmm. The Nations League games have been wonderful for cap counts.
Yeah.
Not so much for a run of stats, though, I guess, and that's what George is on to discuss. Take it away, George.
Hi, yeah. So, I just wanted to. I know you've probably talked about the Poland and the Portugal game and things like that, but. Both games were a case of, I think, missed opportunities. In terms of, well, certainly I was at the Poland game at Hampden, and I just felt, you know, we seemed to play, you know, much more positive towards the second half and create more chances. But what frustrates me, what has frustrated me, is this ultra sort of defensive mode where they're still doing sideways passing, backwards passing, you know, and in some cases, in some of the goals, loose passing that is let the opposition in. And I'm just thinking, you know, Steve Clark, is he still picking his favourites? Has he learned anything from Germany? Indeed, has he learned anything from the previous Euros? And I know we've brought in some players, but it's like, I just feel that the new players should be given much more time. And some of the...
Who in particular, George?
Well, for example, I've been quite impressed with Ryan Gold since he's... It came into four. I've liked Lewis Morgan, but I'd like him to see have much more an advancing role.
Do you think it's time then to think it's time to drop some of these tried and tested midfielders and forwards? Because who misses out? You know, because for them, McGinn, McTominay, etc. Who misses out for the likes of them to start games? I mean, I guess you could say Kenny McLean for Ryan Gold.
I would say. For example, maybe Ryan Christie or Kenny McLean or even, I mean, we should be playing people in form, right? So when you've got Ben Doak, you know, with bags of energy, now he just came back from an injury, but he was looking fast. But really, we should be playing players on form that show no fear in bombing forward, taking the game to the opposition in their half, testing the defence and firing off shots. The last couple of games, I mean, with the regulars, we're not firing off enough shots. Yeah.
I think the difficulty with this is people, what we've noticed in the last couple of days, it's not hard to identify problems. Really, really easy, in fact. But finding solutions to when it's international football and you've got only certain players you can choose from is much harder. Because we throw out these phrases, play players in form. Hey, Ben Doak is not in form because Ben Doak doesn't play first team football. Ben Doak might be in form by the time the next window comes round. Mm-hmm. Ben Doak is not in form because he doesn't play football. And granted, yeah, you can make a... Can we give more new players a chance? You know, who are they? What areas are they in? Is it time to... drops, you know, this accusation about favourites, who does that really apply to? I think Kenny McLean, Grant Hanley got a bit of stick for being picked. Then Kenny McLean sets up the goal. Grant Hanley, again, it's fair criticism, but who takes his place? If it's Ryan Portis instead of Grant Hanley, is everything well with the world? Is everyone going to phone in and say, brilliant, I'm buzzing that it's Ryan Portis and not, and that's no disrespect to Ryan Portis, it's just a sign of the levels that we've got to choose from in certain areas.
I thought it was fine margins, to be honest with you, Gordon. I thought that after the first half against Poland, you know, they come out, they obviously got on the front foot, they get that early goal, gives them a bit of confidence. To be fair to Steve Clark cannot justify the fact that Grant Hanley, an experienced player, goes into that challenge.
I mean, obviously you pick him, though.
Yeah,
as
yeah.
A manager.
But... to be fair, I think Grant Hanley's served Scotland well. I like the fact that he did tweak his shape. He went to a back four in both games. I think you could probably say the goalkeeper could do a wee bit better in Portugal. So for me, it was just fine moments. But it doesn't help because if you're a manager people want results, and they'll keep harping on. And Mark says it at the early part of the show tonight. The teams that we are playing are top quality teams. Even in our friendlies, we're not going out and thinking, right, we'll try and pick an easy one here to try and get some victories under our belt. We're picking top quality sides. And I think Steve Clark thinks that will make us better in the long run. Look, you look at that midfield, you're right. Who are you going to leave out of there? Because McTominay has been magnificent for us.
Not even worth discussing those two, is it? I mean,
Gilmore,
let's be honest.
Gilmore as well. You've got, you know, John McGinn. The only one that you can make an argument for is we can always look at the Kenny McLean situation, but I think sometimes that's very easy to do. But the manager really likes him because he's always involved somewhere along the lines in the Scotland team. I'll be interested to see what he does when Tierney and that comes back as well. I know he's the manager's got his critics. Every manager has style of football. We've heard it all before. But I just thought the last two games, there was a couple of times just individual decisions cost us, I think.
Probably depends, Mark, whether you're a big picture guy or not. Big picture, that winless run is not good enough and can't go on forever. In terms of performance levels, if it was just about the last two games, performance levels were fine. Let's be honest, they were. The results weren't, though. So what's the fix?
Well, if I had that answer, I'd be in Steve Clark's camp. It's very, very difficult to find a fix because I think you've got to stick with the process. If you consistently have good performances, I do believe results will change because when you analyse the goals against, there were mistakes. You kind of keep going on and make mistakes. We all know that. Every young player knows that through to a professional level, and they don't often happen. But if you just try to rip the full thing up and try and reinvent something that takes another while to get going, do you leave yourself in a worse position? I believe you would. So I think Steve Clark is gained the right to have more time, and he's trying to evolve in terms of back four, few different personnel. But what I think we're seeing, in George's call maybe highlighted it, is people are becoming better players being out the team. You often get that club mentality as well. People are sitting in the stand, you get fans calling in and, why are we not playing this guy? They're sitting on the bench for a reason. And guys like Gold, I love Ryan Gold, said my piece about him on this show, but he's not a young kid anymore. He's not going to burst onto the scene and we're going to go, wow, where's he been? Steve Clark knows what he can do. Ben Doak's the opposite. Ben Doak might, and I hope over the next 5 years we get to see a lot of him, but Ben Doak needs to go somewhere and play consistent football to make an impact in the Scotland team. But he's got very good players ahead of him, top players playing in the top league. So let's not forget that either.
This is not designed to cut Steve Clark loads of slack, Gordon. Football's really quite simple, and then see if you keep losing games as a manager, it doesn't matter how it happened, you'll just lose your job eventually. That's kind of the way it works. But I wonder if there's room for just a touch of context around that winless run and worth it remembering the way that you become a victim of your own success, because within that winless run includes friendly games against France, England and the Netherlands. We didn't need to pick those friendlies. The irony of it being, we got to a decent place in the Nations League. You know you're going to be taking on good opposition, so you pick good opponents. Steve Clark then sort of hangs himself out there, if you like,
by picking them.
So if those three friendlies are against minnows, no one's phoning in tonight and saying, oh, we're winless in 14, because you're not. But it was done for the right reasons. It was done, and now it's detrimental to Steve Clark's record because people keep bringing that up. Similarly, obviously, that Germany was an absolute, you know what, and over the summer. And then the other night, you're saying, it was like, fine, the performances were good, the results, not so much. So I just wonder if there's room for a bit of context. Not over the top context. It's a really bad run and it needs to end. And if it doesn't, eventually Steve Clark, you know, will lose his job. But we picked tough friendlies and we're in the top Nations League. So again, another cruel twist for Steve Clark. If you were still in Nations League B, maybe you win one of your games the other night. If you're still in C, maybe you win both your games over the weekend, and then nobody can use that stat.
Yeah, that's where the problem lies, because everybody's just looking at the the amount of games and the wins in that sort of a period with Steve Clark. I think you've got to cut him a little bit of slack. I don't think, as you quite rightly says, Gordon, I think everybody, even Steve Clark, will know this. It can't continue. He's got what, Croatia and Portugal, I think, next two games. Once again, very difficult games. There's no doubt about that. But he needs to start turning something into a positive. He is trying different things. He's bringing in different players to the squad. He's changed his formation. He's lost important players, and I'm not making excuses for him. I think everything's down to people criticise Steve Clark for this negativity of football. I don't think we showed that the other night. You know, I thought we played well. I thought we'd come out and we played as well as we possibly. I just think it was down to individual mistakes. That's probably the fine line that costs us. But it can't go on. We all know it can't go on. Because eventually, the pressure will be too much.
Thank you, George. 0141 951 1025. See, if you play weaker opponents, it's just much more straightforward. It's 5-0 to the under-21s now against...
Malta.
Well remembered. Lewis Nielsen, currently of St Johnstone, scoring. Stadium's quite empty that they're playing in. Maybe feels at home, just to bring it back to the earlier discussion. Anyway, right, good time to call. We'll get you on next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's 0141 951 1025. That is the number that you need. They're refreshed and raring to go after their international break. Mark Wilson went hill walking. Gordon DL went to the pub. There's maybe there's probably something in that about how these guys live their life.
That's a little bit unfair because that man went to
Kilimanjaro.
Have a glass of champagne as well.
How are the knees after Kilimanjaro? You were moaning, saying that it was taking you a while to get over.
No, good. I was in the gym this morning, Ryan, and no, depressed again. My knees.
So you're thinking
gubbed.
Your next charity venture might not be physical.
Might not be. I know. I had planned to do the London Marathon. Yep, for Cash for Kids, but
it's up in the air.
Oh, it's up in the air just now.
That's
come on,
that's good because I sponsor you. You cost me a fortune.
You could step in for him, surely.
Hi, London Marathon.
Now, mate, you imagine the amount of money that would make.
You would make a fortune for Cash for Kids.
I don't even know how to run.
I'd just waddle
in your Wraith Rover strip. Imagine that. Full 26
you
miles
in the Wraith Rover's 94 strip.
Oh,
doing
yeah,
the marathon
with my name
I think
on
you'd
the back.
Great, I think yeah, you'd break the million
for the
pound
kids
barrier.
What is it? 26 miles.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how long do you think that'd take me?
3 days.
I'd need your wee pal following me with the toilet. Wee chopper.
You know they do that. The cameras make a point of catching the last person to cross the line.
Do you think I'd be last?
You're the man. Aye. Getting at the taxi.
I'm going to go to the gym tomorrow and try a run 5K. See what I can do.
I mean, they'll let you up the distance a bit.
There was an old lady on the treadmill beside me and I thought, oh, she looks a bit old. And she jumped off. She'd done a 10K in 39 minutes the day at the Hamilton gym. And she was older than you.
Yeah, I'll
it's
go.
Possible.
I'll start 5K.
I'll
give you my times tomorrow. My PBs.
Do you think
your PBs?
Because I know the way you
PBs?
Work.
PBs, personal best.
In the way you live your life. Do you think you've ran at all since you retired from playing football?
No.
You haven't broken into a jog at any point?
I wonder what you'd look like jogging. I think you'd have a wiggle.
I was a sort of a. I had a funny run, if you know what I mean.
Video it for us tomorrow and then we can all have a wee look.
You can't even video yourself running.
I just set up the tripod
at a time.
I'll get somebody to do it.
Do you think there's any other footballer on this earth who just never runs at all when they retire? I mean, like one time.
Razor Ruddock. He's up there
just
with Razor.
You just don't care about any of that stuff, do you?
No, I don't see the point.
It's just
sore in the joints.
Strange man. Anyway, right, I've got a full-time teaser before we bring in Ian. He's an Ayr fan as well, but he's got some stories about you running out of town.
Oh, yeah,
probably.
Yeah.
I think you don't know he's running nowadays.
It's from Campbell in Inverness. Russell Martin is the only Scottish manager in the English Premier League this season. During the calendar year of 2012... there were a record high 8 Scottish managers in the English Premier League. Can you name them and their clubs if you want? So,
Mice.
During the calendar year of 2012, 8 Scottish managers in the English Premier League, in contrast to 1 at the moment.
Moyes.
Where was he? at ever. That time? Yes. Yeah.
Well done. Fergie, Fergie, obviously.
Yep. Where was he?
What about Lambert?
Yes. Where?
I would probably say Norwich.
Or yes. Norwich. Yeah. Leave it there. That's three. You've only got five to get. So thank you to Campbell and Inverness for sending that in fulltime at Clyde1.com if you want to hear your question used on the show. Ian is in air as previously advertised. How are you, Ian?
Not bad, thanks yourselves.
Not bad, not bad at all. Good to be back after a break over the weekend. What are you thinking?
Just, I was listening to you talk there about the Scotland squad. Doak's already out on loan at Middlesbrough. Mm-hmm. Doak is playing first team football now.
No, but this so is the caller said he's in form. Ben Doak can't. I hope Ian Ben Doak is a sensation. I'm really excited about seeing him in Scotland colours, but let's not. We can't describe him as in form.
No, he's not in form, but he is away out and loan now playing the game. I think
not played yet, though. But it's not. But he's no appearances for Middlesbrough yet.
No, I know.
as of yet. And then also, just on the Scotland squad as well, that you look at the likes of McLean, Hanley, they get it again. And they've got to be in the World, they've got to be there for the World Cup qualifiers, World Cup squad. Probably not. So why not use these games to try and bed in the youngsters who are going to come in and play?
Yep. I mean, I think obviously that's the next aim is those World Cup. So who would you play in? Well, we don't really have any young centre backs, so that you'd put in instead of Hanley, or do you include like Portis and that?
Aye, you'd really support this and that. They've got to play in the future, haven't they? So maybe we'll go out and play. You look at the goalkeeping situation again. Xander Clark called up. He's back at the number two at Hearts. Where's Gorbin?
I mean, 41, I think, is the answer to that. If we're talking about, and this is where it is genuinely difficult, because I'm not saying Ian's wrong. Loads of people watched that goal go in the other night and said Craig Gordon would have saved that. I saw all that stuff. Ian's core point was, what's the future? Play young guys, get them bedded in. Oh, but by the way, bring back 41-year-old Craig Gordon. So it feels like there are a number of contradictions flying around, Mark. Do we have a goalkeeping issue? Or did Angus Gunn show in the rest of the game the other night, weirdly, that he is capable of making big saves for Scotland?
Yeah, he made a number of good saves the other night. But unfortunately, it's the one that he lets in that people remember. And I think we went through a period of having really top goalkeepers. Mm. We were spoiled. If it was Marshall, if it was McGregor, if it was Craig Gordon, and the list can go on back through the years. But I don't think that's the strongest department for us at the minute. I even look at who's coming through, and there's not a standout that we can say, like Ian saying, let's use these games to give this guy a couple of caps to bed himself in. I don't think we've got the quality in that position, and that's a problem, because we are a nation that will concede chances against the better opposition. And I think if you went back to those goalkeepers that I just mentioned, if we had one of those in this side, we might be better placed to finish better in games.
You just wonder who's sitting there waiting then to take over.
I wonder how that'll play out. You know, Ian says Xander Clark's called up, but he's number two at Hearts, so he was injured. And then he's right though, Ian's right. Craig Gordon stayed in for the last three games, and Xander Clark's been on the bench. At the same time, just guys that have been in the squad, I'm not saying he's going to be the first choice, but Liam Kelly has gone to Rangers and obviously isn't playing football. Mm-hmm. Therefore, John McCracken of Dundee's been called up. So overall, there's not a lot of depth there. Craig Gordon could be a fix for a small, but he's 41. So do we have a real issue there going forward?
I think you're right. I don't think we have a lot of choices. You've got guys that, obviously, Clark just now, he's not playing any football. He's the number two. Gunn's a mixed
bag. Wait and see how that plays out, though. I don't know, maybe, you know, after this break, if Xander Clark goes back in and then stays as Hearts number one.
Gunn's a mixed bag for me. I think that sometimes you see him that you think, very capable goalkeeper, and then that, just as I touched on earlier about decision, mate, I thought he should have saved it all day long. But as you quite rightly said, Gordon, I don't see a lot of choices. You know, obviously, Liam Kelly was in there. He was amongst it when he was playing every single week with Motherwell. Since he's moved to Rangers, he's not going to get that game time. So maybe that's why the Dundee lad has moved in front of him. But I don't see a lot of options there at all. And I think we have got a wee sort of a slight problem in that area.
So you think the squad needs more change going forward, Ian? You think it needs to look fresher?
There's an underlying issue. Che Adams withdrew for the squad, not injured. Taylor Forrest withdrew for the squad. You can guarantee they'll play Saturday for Celtic at Hearts. There's boys now putting out who would be there and thereabouts normally, now not interested. You look at the striking situation, with Dyke's playing again, he's now playing in League One in England, and you're asking him to go up against the likes of Portugal defence, who are world-class players.
How do you think he did, Dylan? Like,
I think he done too. Just does as usual, he rumbles about, he wins headers and tries to get his up the park, but you see after 50 minutes he was done. You know, he was in his... He started dropping deeper and deeper because he played in the low block, and then he kind of get back up the park because his legs were gone, and it took too long to take him off, in my opinion.
It's just... People don't have to like this. I just feel like the other night possibly showed that, again, this might be bad news to people, that's fine, but the Scotland team isn't ready to move on from Lyndon Dykes fully yet. That felt like what it looked the other night. He wasn't there at the Euros, and again, this might be an indictment of where we are, but it kind of looked like we missed him, and it still does a function in comparison to what else you've got to choose from.
Well, if it's Steve Clark's plan,
I don't think the Portugal defence looked like they particularly enjoyed it.
Modern centre backs don't enjoy playing against that physical presence, do they? I mean, the game's evolved so much that the modern centre backs about taking the ball and, you know, allowing strikers to drop deep and allowing your midfielders to deal with it, and then just dealing with things when they come in the box. But they just don't enjoy that physical presence of people bumping into them. So that fits the mould what Steve Clarke wants. Or does Steve Clarke play that way because he's got the option of Lyndon Dykes? Who knows what comes first, kind of chicken and egg there. But he will be involved. He will be involved for many more caps, I think, when Steve Clark's involved. Unless, I don't know, a Conway, you know, really lights things up in the championship for Middlesbrough, or someone else comes to the fore that really sparkles and Steve Clark has no choice of playing him. Until then, I think he'll stick with Dyke.
I think everybody was crying out for Shanklin winning the Euros to play more game time. But unfortunately, he's not started the season particularly well, and that's not just down to him. I think the Hearts as a team, overall as a team, has not started the season particularly well. Steve Clark likes Dykes. He likes what he brings to the table.
How do you think he did the other night?
I think he done all right. Yeah, I think he does give us the option that if we do need to go a little bit longer, we can do that, because we've got certainly runners for the middle of the park that can get up there and support him. But you've got to get the quality ball out. If you're going to play it long, the ball's got to be a little bit of a quality that at least give him an opportunity, because you're right, and Ian's 100% right when he's talking about you're playing against good centre-halves. You're playing against top centre-halves that are playing for our country. So you've got to make sure the quality's there. We've not got a lot to choose from. That's a problem.
Is that
can't just rip it all up and start again.
And is that the bit where you just keep coming back to then and you're banging your head off a brick wall? Ian is right. Okay, you're telling me that it's, you know, we are our number one striker plays in League One in England. The answer to that might have to be yes until such times. You might bemoan Grant Hanley's inclusion, but at the moment it looks like it's him or Ryan Portis. You might,
or Henry,
and again, actually did quite well at times, but you might complain or think that Anthony Ralston doesn't get a game for Celtic. What is the alternative here? It doesn't feel like we've got genuine debates in those areas, so you can pick your back to the goalkeeper. People are more than entitled to feel like Angus Gunn should have done better the other night. But at the moment, it's a 41-year-old Craig Gordon, or Xander Clark, who's on the bench at Hearts, or John McCracken, who's just come into the
squad. It's back to the feeling, I think, that the players that aren't in the squad at the minute and playing at their clubs, people think, oh, give them a chance. There's a reason they aren't selected. There's a reason Ralston selected at right back ahead of any other Scottish right back just now, because he's the best. He's at Celtic for a reason, whether you like that or not. Same with Gunn. There's a reason he's the number one. He's the best what we've got. Dykes is a number nine. Okay, he's battling out with Shanklin, but he fits the mould. He's
a good point Ian makes, though, but I think only time can answer this. What Shea Adams had just gone to Italy. Was it that? Was there the injury? I know there's real disagreement there. We'll see how committed it looks going forward. And you've seen it all over the place. Was it Cole Palmer? He was out of the England squad, wasn't he? But back training with Chelsea. you do sometimes see it. Just because Greg Taylor and James Forrest were feeling something last week doesn't mean they won't be fit enough to play for Celtic, but that's gone on in international football since the dawn of time.
We've seen it a lot worse years ago.
Oh, sure.
People used to pull out for anything, and there was a real lack of appetite to go and join the national team. I wouldn't point that at the players just now. I think they enjoyed being part of this group. I think they enjoyed the hype of Germany and all the plaudits that came their way. Okay, they were disappointed. I don't think they'd be in that mindset that they'd pull out for no reason.
Some fair debating points though, Ian. Thank you very much. Right, on this teaser, you two were looking for the 8 Scottish managers who were in the English Premier League in the year 2012. You've got Alex Ferguson, Davy Moyes and Paul Lambert. One more each.
Go on.
Billy Davis?
No.
Oh.
No? What about Owen Coyle?
No.
Oh, he's not Scottish.
Yeah, not football nationality.
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
2012.
Okay, I'll give you some thinking time and you can get back to me after these.
Was Willard Smith there in 2012?
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's show, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale. You two thought this was going to be a slow, quiet, semi-midweek coming off the international break. Look at us, 10 minutes to go. You're absolutely flying. How about the teaser? Not really flying on that. Campbell in Inverness sent it in. He wants to know, can you name the 8 managers, Scottish managers, who were in the English Premier League in 2012. It's a sort of nod to the current situation where it's only Russell Martin, and by that obviously we mean football nationality. So you've got, who did you get before the break?
Moyes, Ferguson and Lambert.
Okay, what else are you giving me?
Burley, George Burley.
Nope.
Alec McLeish.
Yes.
Kenny Dalglish.
Yes.
And soonest one.
No.
Newcastle. No. What about Steve Clark?
Yes. Okay, 2 to get. We'll get them before the end so you can hold fire. And we'll see how you get on. Let me double check the Scotland under 21s. I think it was 5 last time we checked, wasn't it? We'll see how they're getting on, I suppose. You've got a nod to the level of opposition. Malta was always going to be relatively straightforward. Yeah, 5-0. So Dane Murray, young Celtic defender. Yeah. Josh Mulligan, Dundee, Lennon Miller, Lewis Nielsen, and an own goal. So 5-0 to the under-21s in amongst the talk about where the main team, the A squad, is going at the moment. Let's start turning slowly back towards the domestic stuff. I think this is the first time we've heard from new Celtic midfielder Arnie Ingles. So let's hear what he had to say when he spoke to the press earlier on.
Yeah, I think it's a really big club. Also, I think it's the biggest club in Scotland. They play every time for the championship and for the league cups and everything. So I think it's obvious that it's a step forward for me, and also with the new format of the Champions League, I think it can be really amazing and special for us. They paid obviously a big amount for me, and I want to return also a lot for the club, and I just want to be my best form here and just perform like I always do, and that's why they did it. So it's just for me to adapt now quickly to the situation, to the team. And it's an amazing team, so everybody is speaking me really well, is teaching me a lot. So I think it's going to be easy to integrate and to perform.
Not that it's a big secret, but just to hear the player so explicitly say that the Champions League format, you know, that does. Yeah. You wonder how much that is in players' heads going into the new season and the way things have changed.
Oh, without doubt, it's got to be, especially for new signings. If you're attracting people to this country from a country, you know, like Germany, then of course it's got to be a big draw. It's quite interesting to hear him there, Ingles, say about form. He wants to give his best form or play to his best form. I think that's going to be crucial, because when he's got the price tag on him, if he's a slow starter, it just goes with the ticket. People will be quick to criticise. But if he finds his form pretty quickly, there's no doubt he's a good player. But that's what it's all about, finding your feet at a new club in a big club like Celtic, and you got those Champions League games coming quickly.
Do you think it helps though that there's not that, I don't know if pressure, because there's always pressure, but it's not like Celtic fans are thinking that he needs to come in and save them, you know, from a bad start to the season.
Yeah, I think I think he's came to the club at a very good time for him. I think he's got plenty of time to settle in, especially under Brendan Rodgers. He's going to have a fight in his hands, because if you look at that midfield three that played that started against Rangers, you know, they're not prepared to give up their jerseys, but it'll be a squad rotation. Look, he's got a big future. Obviously, Celtic splashed out the big money for him. He seems to, you know the fact that it could be a patient time for him just to come in, settle into the club, find his feet. Watch how, you know, get yourself involved in Scottish football, because sometimes the pace is a little bit faster than what you'd probably be used to. So I think he's came to the club at a real good time for him.
I think Daz is right. He's going to have a fight. Celtic have got three very good midfielders in there at the minute. They've added him at 11 million. McCown's shown that he knows this league. He knows how to score goals in this league. So even below him, if you want to put it in those terms, he's got a battle. Because McCown will push him, no doubt, every day in training. And at a big club like Celtic, nothing's guaranteed. You know, you don't get a guaranteed starting place because you were signed for X amount of money. But look at Ida. Ida was signed for 9 million. People saying, oh, well, that guarantees Ida will play and Kyogo will play second fiddle. Well, you saw what Kyogo thought of that against Rangers. That doesn't happen. So it's all about every day in training, finding that form quickly, and when he gets in the starting 11, keeping the jersey ahead of the others.
Let's hear from another midfielder. Luke McCown says he and his family still getting used to life at Celtic after completing his boyhood dream move.
It's been something that I dreamed of as a wee boy, coming here and getting a chance to play for this club, and it's everything I could have imagined so far. A lot of hard work, of course, but it's the week's been good and everything's going smoothly, as I said. I think it's a massive learning curve for them as well. You're a lot more in the media as well than now. You're kind of more on the front line with that aspect, because kind of just pull upside McDonald's and kind of get away with it. You're getting spotted after wee guys and got to show you're a true professional. I'm only getting a fruit bag here and whatever. So, so it's just stuff like that they're getting used to as well. And already I've had a few of you guys come to the mum and dad's store and asking for autographs and that, so that bit's nice. But I think at some point you need to tell them to stay at the game, stay at the garden. So, but nah, it's a learning curve for them, and I'm sure they're absolutely delighted for us.
You've been there, Mark. You've lived that. I know the way Scotland works, that stuff only appeals to you if that's your team that he's talking about. I get that, but just to all those youngsters who sort of dream of that, what's it like when you get to play for your boyhood club, whoever that is?
Amazing. How do you put it into words? It's difficult, but it's just an overnight thing. I quite liked his taking it there. It shows that he's got a bit of personality, rather than just sit there and be wooden and just bat off with the old normal answers. He sounds like a player that's, you know, relishing, loving every moment in this, and is going to thrive in this environment. He's a good player, no doubt about it. He's going to have that character and personality to stand out. But
where did you go refreshing. For your fruit bag?
Let's give it a year.
He loved that. He's on joke.
Give it a year and we'll see if,
even know what you're referring to.
That. We'll see if the let's call it the big club environment wears him down. Let's see if he's still giving interviews like that in a year.
I hope he is. There's not enough of that in the game.
Anyway, right, you two on the teaser, a couple more. You really liked that fruit bag joke.
He's obviously thinking something different in his head.
Anyway,
eight
Scottish managers in the English Premier League in 2012. Alex Ferguson, Alex McLeish, Davy Moyes. What else did you get?
Steve Clark,
Kenny Dalglish and Paul Lambert. Yeah, two to get.
I think I've got a cracker.
Quick.
Steve Keane.
Oh, wonderful. Steve Keane.
Wow.
Blackburn. Yeah.
How did you get that?
That's Blackburn. The answer of the night. That is wonderful from you.
Because I remember talking to him.
Is he even Scottish?
Yes. Very much so.
Yeah.
I remember talking. No, you don't. What a liar.
How does that work? Anyway, one more to get still.
Give us another cracker.
No, come on. Very well known.
Yeah.
Gordon Strachan.
No.
That's him already.
He's in the Scottish Premiership at one of our big city clubs. He's not the manager, though.
He's not the big
former Ross County boss.
Malky Mackay.
Malky Mackay. Thank you, Gordon DL, Mark Wilson. We are back at 6 o'clock tomorrow, and enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.